Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
And welcome, everybody. This is actually my 74th episode that I'm doing, and today I am pleased to be joined by three-time Grey Cup champion, graduate of the University of Oregon, go Ducks, and founder of TSN's The Edge, which is a fantasy betting and fantasy for betting and fantasy football platform, Davis Sanchez. Davis, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Griff, thanks for having me. And yeah, I wish it was a betting. Betting site, because as you see, those guys are raking in millions and millions of dollars. We are just a betting information hub, so we're giving all the information at TSN Edge for people to go and then try to get the edge. And as we know, it's a difficult sports betting is a difficult thing. So we're just passing on information, and we're growing by the day, but having a heck of a time doing it.
Yeah, no, my bad about that. Yeah, so it's like a Bodog almost, where people can go to you and just kind of like get your inputs. Because I listen to TSN 1050, which is the local station here in Toronto, daily, and I always see the TSN best bets, whether it's like Brian Hayes or another host giving those odds out. So I feel like with TSN The Edge, you guys kind of say like, hey, here's who to watch for with like football, for example, watch for fantasy football this week, or even to what spread covers you like.
Right, and TSN Edge, we have a weekly radio show hosted by our man Aaron Karolnik, 10 a.m. on Thursdays, and he goes through all the betting news and information, gives a lot of good insight there. Another part of the TSN Edge platform.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of just like even another element to it, where it's like, hey, you can actually listen to the radio show to get the full betting to see like, hey, what does Aaron like to bet? Because then that will help influence people's bets. So it's like for example, I brought up earlier how TSN usually just does the quick radio hit of best bets. And then sometimes people can take that because it's like, hey, I like this team to cover. I like this over. And I think this team wins money line, for example.
No doubt.
Exactly. Quickly, just wanted to get into your career because obviously, like I said, you're three-time Grey Cup champion, once with the Montreal Alouettes, the Edmonton Eskimos, which actually Edmonton football team, my apologies, and the BC Lions. But when I looked at your page and I saw that you were your Grey Cup championship with Montreal, that came in probably for people from my audience, because a lot of my listeners are American, don't know, but that was one of the craziest finishes in Grey Cup history.
Yeah, it surely was. We were down, I believe we were down 12 or I think we were down three scores with 10 minutes left in the game. And ultimately, for those who did not see it, made a comeback in the fourth quarter, had a chance to kick the game winning field goal after a last minute drive down to kick the game winning field goal to win it. And we missed the field goal. And this is when the madness ensues. There were flags all over the field, and the Riders end up having 13 men on the field, too many men penalty, which they were celebrating, running around, cheering, and rightfully so, but gave us another life, added 10 yards, moved it forward, and Damon Duval from the University of formerly from the University of Auburn knocked it through the middle, and we won the Grey Cup. So, definitely a different range of emotions when you feel like you lost the game, watching that ball sail wide, and then see the flags on the field to find out you had another shot at it and win a Grey Cup. And Griff, what's really crazy about that in a deeper dive is that team, including myself, many of the guys on that squad had lost several Grey Cups. I had lost three. I was 0-3 in Grey Cups entering that game, and a lot of my teammates were the same. Montreal had been snake bitten, been really good team, but couldn't close it out. So we looked like another Grey Cup we couldn't close out until that flag. And pretty crazy game and pretty special.
I also just remember that game because I remember as soon as the penalty was called, the camera cut to the special teams coach in the box. I believe in McMahon Stadium in Calgary that one was in, where he just like throws his hat down. He just realizes like, man, I can't believe I just did that and everything. And like they gave Montreal second hope, because as soon as you said the whole snake bin thing, I just remembered instantly that the year prior, Montreal had actually lost to, I believe it was Calgary in Montreal in 2008.
Yeah, you're right. That was a home game. You know, 50 something thousand people in Montreal. I was against Calgary and Henry Burris, and we thought we had, you know, playing a home game in the Grey Cup with that crowd. We thought we had that one, and again, we came up short. But a lot went into it, Griff. But you're right. Yeah. That was one of the craziest games. You see it on ESPN Classic all the time. One of the craziest Grey Cups ever.
Yeah, and any time like and also too with TSN, anytime they run the like usually top 10 Grey Cup moments, that one's usually in that list somewhere.
It should be. Yep.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to ask you about quickly was just the transition from like your playing days to your broadcasting days, and like how that came to be. If you could give the just listening audience some light into that.
Yeah, you know, it's. Some think it's a natural transition, which it is a natural transition and something that players want to do because it's great to stay involved in the game, to be able to talk about the game. And that's one of the things that you know, 99% of guys miss is just the ability to talk about the game and the pressure and the adrenaline you get being on live television and talking about the game. And so, you know, for me, it wasn't an instant thing. I didn't necessarily want to go into media. It wasn't something that I had thought about. I retired. I went into business. I tried a couple different businesses that I had opened, and then maybe four or five years after I retired, I started to get involved in a little bit of the podcasting. As you know, as a podcaster, it gives the a platform for anybody who wants to get involved in media to kind of do their own thing. And I got involved a little bit with that, and it kind of grew. And then TSM reached out. So yeah, super, super fortunate to be able to do this. I love talking about football. I love the adrenaline that I get without getting hit in the back. I get the adrenaline that I got as a player, and hopefully I don't take myself too seriously. Hopefully, I come across as a guy who wants to have some fun and you know, give a little bit of insight. I can be self-deprecating and also, hopefully tell it like it is. That's, kind of what I hope to bring, and then try to figure it out every week and every year, trying to figure it out, get a little bit better and just try to entertain. It is, at the end of the day, it's football, it's sports, it's entertainment. And sometimes people take it a little bit too seriously or take themselves too seriously. And I think, the CFL on TSN panel and even some of our NFL coverage, we have a lot of fun with what we do and try to just, bring that through the camera and to the audience.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I loved it how you said, too, like, just the podcasting gives anyone a platform. Because I remember just the call you and I had before we recorded. You asked me kind of, like, how I started this. And I just started because, like, hey, you want to bring like the excitement, you want to bring the action, but also too, I just wanted to give myself a platform to be able to talk to, whether it's my friends, someone like you, to come on here and just talk football and have like friendly banters, like you kind of see people doing, like interacting on Twitter, or even to the analogy that I hear so often, you're basically the voice for like the 100 drunk guys that are in a bar having a discussion on sports, for example.
Yeah. And that's what's so great about it too, Griff. It's subjective. In TV or trying to get a job in TV or in radio, it's really so difficult to find employment. There's so few jobs, especially in Canada. But now with with social media and with, you know, with YouTubing and podcasting, anybody can have a show and have a segment, and it's subjective. You have, 100 buddies or, 50 people that love listening to you and love interacting with you. You get a chance to do it and just interact with those people. And that sometimes turns to thousands or shoot, maybe it just stays with the 50 and 100 and you have fun every week shooting the ish with your buddies. And that's really a great thing. And social seems to be often looked down on because of all the negativity you get with it. But I would rather have to hear from a couple of jackasses who are negative and talk crap to you and have the ability to share some fun stuff and some good interaction with others. I will enjoy that trade off, and I'll take that trade off any day of the week. So it's become a pretty cool thing. And like I was listening to Charles Barkley and those guys in the TNT panel, they were trying to convince Chuck, who doesn't have social media, Charles Barkley, to have social. And Ernie Johnson said a great thing. He said, you don't have to reply to every idiot that messages you. And he didn't want to be on Chuck because of all the negativity. He said, don't respond to every idiot that messages you, but it gives you a chance to get your message out, something you're passionate about or Griff, like we say, even if you just want to have some fun, it gives you that platform like you've been doing.
Exactly. That's why I started this podcast. I didn't start it thinking like, hey, you know what? I'm going to collect 100,000 listeners and like become famous off this. No, I started this because like you said, I just wanted to come on here, whether it be someone like yourself from TSN, Sportsnet, various different platforms. I've had people who work for like SB Nation, or just have me have some of my buddies on here that I've known for years and just say, hey, let's come on here and talk football, because all the time we usually have these like back and forth, just like playful banter arguments on Twitter. But I just want to go back to your point when you were saying like, look, you can say something bad and then you're going to get all these guys who think they know everything and who can say, oh, I can do your job in a heartbeat. But in reality, if you put them behind the camera, they're going to be shaking like a leaf. So it just shows that, hey, even though certain people can do that, it just basically meaning, hey, you know what? Block out the noise. If you feel like what you're doing is great, that's all that matters. That's how I look at it personally.
You got a great point. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, just because like I was saying with that. But going back to the betting thing, I've seen you just also too retweeting certain articles about like how legalized betting's become such a big thing, especially with the NFL. How even to this year, I started doing it more and more, and I started giving ProLine more of my money. Didn't win a lot, but the thing with betting though, that I see, like you're saying, there's all these people in the States making millions of dollars, hundreds of millions, if you be more specific, for example, Barstool has their sports book, FanDuel has their sports book. Up here in Canada, the only one I know is Wegs, but if they can make legalized betting where you can go to a sports book and place a bet and you know what, maybe sit down there and have a drink, eat some food, obviously when that stuff's allowed to, and it's safer, because obviously we're in the middle of a pandemic right now. I feel like you're only going to help expand the game further, just because, and even my girlfriend's admitted to this, that, hey, when you bet on a game, you pay more attention, not to just like who your team is, but also what's going on here, here, and here. That's why I love watching 7 hours of commercial-free football every Sunday.
You know what? I call it, me and my buddies, we call it spicing it up.
Yeah.
And similar to what your girlfriend is saying, it just adds a little bit of intrigue to the game. And I actually find myself now only really wanting to watch, other than football, I don't really watch other sports unless I bet on it. And I find it difficult to watch a regular season Wednesday night NBA game or a hockey game unless I have action on it. I don't watch it. And I don't think I'm alone in that. And I don't think you have to go crazy. I think there has to be some discipline in what you do and your bankroll and what's comfortable for you. And it's very difficult to win in sports betting in the long haul. And so people have to understand that, you got to be willing, the money that you're putting up sports betting, you got to be willing to lose and understand that, hey, this is just like entertainment, just like you spend to go watch a movie. And if you happen to come out on the right side, then wonderful. But it's, the future of sports betting and and how it connects with sports broadcast, I believe is going to have a lot to do with live betting. And that's, you know, I saw a stat that said that as of right now, there's more bets that are placed live in game than there are games, you know, bets before the game, which, you know, a few years ago, there was no such thing as live betting. And they believe in this stat that I saw in this article I was reading, it, they believe that in 3 years from now, it's going to be 3-1, 4-1 live bets to pregame bets. So it's all going to be interactive, and you're going to watch a game with your tablet, with your phone, and you're going to make bets in the first quarter, in the second quarter, in the third period. And as the game goes on, it's going to be an interactive experience, which, I mean, it's just, it's something that just bumps your adrenaline. It allows you to use, you know, we all think we're a genius. I'm someone who played the game, and now I'm considered I don't want to say expert, but I'm an analyst that gives insight into sports betting. And hey, look, I don't, you know, I have plenty of days where I get my butt kicked and I lose a lot of games, but other times I have some pretty good insight and I'm able to pick some winners. And that's, I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, everybody has an opinion. Everyone has a view of how they see the game, and it gives us all a chance to study and take our shot to make some money. And it's like you said, the regular Joe on the bar stool to a guy that played 13 years of pro football, or for our girlfriends or wives, any of us can study and flip a coin and take a shot at winning a few bucks. It's the future of sports betting, and it's here to stay.
Yeah, exactly. And one, I just reiterate, like when I go bet, for example, I always say, like with OLG, I'll go to like my gas station and I have the app on my phone. I will do $10, say, and I'll pick like three games for the NFL. Like I'm not going to be like, cause you know how you see those people where it's like, oh, hey, this person had this like crazy parlay where they bet like 100 grand. It's just like stuff like that. It's not that it's realistic. It's just, look, like you said, you have to play, but you got to play smart and you got to play safe. Cause like, it's like what you said, going to the movies, like, you have to be willing to, like, you know how much going to the movies is going to cost. Then with sports betting, you got to know how much you're losing if you lose. Like, you can't always think, oh, yeah, I placed this amount down, I'm going to win big, you know, because if it comes back, and it's amount you didn't feel comfortable losing, you're going to end up regretting it. And it just, that's what leads to problematic gambling, and that's obviously what we're trying to avoid. So that's why I just wanted to throw that out there. How, hey, I go to my gas station, they scan my ticket, $10, and I feel comfortable if I lose it.
It's entertainment.
Exactly. You nailed it right on the head. It's entertainment. It's not something I want to do like my livelihood. Like I've been to sports bars before, like where I see someone holding their ticket, but then one simple play can be like them getting the difference between like happiness and aggressive. And at that point, this was like years ago, and I was just like, do I really want a sports bet? But now I'm on that other side where I'm like, you know what? Betting makes watching the game more fun, because you can take a game you don't even care about and just add that spice to it, like you said.
That's right. Oh,
well, anyway, just wanted to wrap this up. Obviously, I can't take up too much Davis Sanchez's time because he's a very busy man. But anyway, before we go, Davis, if people want to find you on social media or where to find you on TV, obviously we said TSN, but just to give a little bit more about yourself for your social media presence, where can people find you?
Yeah, really, my name, Davis Sanchez. You could find punch in that search. My handle on a lot of things is Chez TSN Edge, and then go to, you know, when you go to give me a follow, and if you love sports betting, yeah, give me a follow at Chez TSN Edge, or just find Davis Sanchez. And you know what, the best thing, Griff, is just going back and forth with people and hearing what bets they like, and that's what I've been enjoying doing, and going back and forth talking. I take advice from, I'll hear a guy tweet me and say he likes this game, and it'll make me look at it, and I'll a couple hours later I'm sending him a message telling him thanks for the great pick, and hopefully I can give out some great picks as well. So that's kind of what we enjoy doing. And then, you know, when you go to TSN, as soon as you log on to TSN.ca, you see right on the top, it says TSN Edge. And, you know, that's TSN Edge has all the gambling information, has all the lines. It has insight and analysis for all the games. So it really gives you kind of a one-stop shop for what you need to see what's on the betting menu each and every night. That's TSN Edge. So, yeah, go there, follow us, on social media, on Twitter, TSN Edge, and set the alerts for that, because it's you know, gives us, especially from Toronto, Vancouver, and across the country, gives us from a Canadian perspective on all of our teams, especially some insight to the games that will be on our network, and hopefully we can win a few bucks in doing so.
Exactly. That's all it's about at the end of the day, is winning some money. Well, anyway, Davis, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. Have a good day. And for those of you listening, just remember, I'll be back at it this Wednesday for free agency. So until then, guys, I'll see you later. And thank you very much for listening to another episode of YWC Football Talk.
You guys thought I was done. You guys thought I was done. Well, so did I. Just swallow my gum there. Yes, I'm that kind of person. But I'm not done. Because the New England Patriots decided to fuck around and do a bunch of moves. And I'm going to go over every single one of them. Why? Because that is what I do. They have signed the following players to contracts. They have tight end Jonnu Smith, wide receivers Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Agholor, linebacker Matthew Judon, I may butcher this name, but nose tackle Devon Godchuk, and cornerback Jalen Mills, all to contracts. And I had to come and break this down. Obviously, like I've hyped before, I do have the free agency special coming this Wednesday to YWC Football Talk, where it's basically going to be a big cast of characters. We're going to be talking hot takes. We're going to be doing free agency, covering what our teams are up to and all that different kind of stuff. And also to all of Matt talk a little bit, obviously, because Drew Brees is hanging him up. But that's not here or there. That's Wednesday. Right now, it's Monday. And I'm here to give my thoughts, starting with the Jonnu Smith signing. You know what? I'm okay with it. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, the money, the money. The way I look at it is there's unlocked potential there to be good. He didn't have his chance to shine, really, in Tennessee, where his targets were a bit of an issue. Now he's coming to New England where, you know what, you're going to be tight end one. I'm not saying he's coming in here and he's going to be Gronk, but you know what? Come in here. You're a younger guy. Help groom Keenan Asiasi, even though I do have more faith in Devin Asiasi than Dalton Keene. And then see where that goes. And even two people were like coming after me for the whole Nelson Agholor thing because I was kind of liking it. And you know what? I would take any receiver at this point. Corey Davis, obviously. So basically from that article that I did where I listed Corey Davis, who else I list? Juju Smith-Schuster, Will Fuller, and Chris Godwin. Two of the four are off the board because right before I hit the record button, Corey Davis signed a 3-year contract with the New York Jets, which he's going back to the East Coast, I believe. I don't know where he went to school, but I know he was a... Or I think... I know he went to, I think, Eastern or Western Michigan, but then he's back to it. And yeah, the deal for him is 3 years, $37.5 million at 27 guaranteed. Right here, right now, I'm going to read this from Chris Sims. Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne are two under-the-radar really good players. They're both versatile, can play slot or outside, are good route runners, and have big playability. Versatility is huge in the Patriots' offense, especially with Cam this year. And you know what? Now the fact that our receiver room is Julian Edelman, Nelson Agholor, Kendrick Bourne, Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry, Gunnar Olszewski, Marquise Lee, Devin Smith, Christian Wilkerson, and Isaiah Zuber. You know what? I am fine with that. If we have Jacoby Myers kind of be that wide receiver too, you know what, that slot receiver, we're going to play, if we play like Kendrick Bourne or Nelson Agholor to the outside, Edelman does Edelman, and then N'Keal Harry, we'll see what happens. I think this makes N'Keal Harry more like a wide receiver 3 or even a wide receiver 4, where he's going to have to work for his catches. So you know what, for all the talk of, oh, Nelson Agholor has the drop issue, he got run out of Philly, he went to Vegas, he revitalized his career, and now he cashed in on it. Now, the spending, too, obviously is not, it's very unpatriot-like. It's not like the New England Patriots to go out and spend in free agency. But you know what? At least we're not being like the New York Jets right now, where the New York Jets took all this time to wake up. Bill is being very serious about who he's signing. And, yeah, he knows what he has to fix. With Godchuk, I know I'm going to get that name wrong, but I like it, too. We need a nose presence. We have Guy, we have Butler, but we haven't had a true nose tackle since Vince Wilfork. And if he can go up there and, you know what, disrupt the line and cause havoc, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. That's all I got to say. Moving on to some other signings. Jalen Mills, I like it because he's a very versatile defensive back, very versatile corner. He had about comparative numbers. He had some more plays than Jason McCourty. So I feel like if Jason McCourty does walk, he can come in there and fill that void with a backfield that could potentially be Devin McCourty with Kyle Duggar,
with J.C. Jackson and now Jalen Mills, I'm fine with it. I am fine with it. And last but not least, we've got Matthew Judon. And you know what? We need a disruptor. We need edge presence. We need someone who can come off the edge and wreak havoc. And that's what Matthew Judon is going to come in and do. These are guys who kind of like, to me, embody the Patriot way in the sense of they're going to come in, they're going to do their jobs, they know what they have to do, and they're going to get it done. Now, obviously, we could talk about, oh, where do I think the Patriots are going to be? Would I love to see them win? Yeah. Could they lose? Yeah. Basically, they're at a position now where it's up to you. The ball is in your hands. Bill has set them up for success. It's now you have to go do it. It's kind of like when you see plays and timeouts where it's like, hey, we're going to run this, 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 and this, but it's up to you guys to go out there and run it. It's up to you guys to, you know what, find the right schemes, find the right offense, get the right defense with obviously guys like Hightower and Chung coming back. The only other signing I'm worried about still is David Andrews, so hopefully by before Wednesday he does sign. Hopefully he stays here. I would love to see him in New England. I think of him as a Patriot lifer. But yeah, I just want to come on here and give some quick thoughts about those guys. And like I said, Jonnu Smith, he's going to come in here and going to make some noise, which I'd like to see. Born in Aguilar, you know what? It's an upgrade to our room. Is it Kenny Golladay? No, it's not Kenny Golladay. We'll see what happens there. But you know what? It's an upgrade. That's all I could ask for. It's an upgrade. And they've given me hope. They've given me hope in the sense I'm not going to be out here screaming, playoffs, 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 we're going to challenge Buffalo. No, I still think Buffalo now is the new class of the AFC East. As for everyone else, we'll see what happens. We have 6 months. We still have the draft. Still got a long ways to go. And we'll see what happens from there. But I don't want to take up too much of your time, guys. I don't want this to be too long of a podcast, so I'm going to leave it at that. YWC episode 74 of YWC Football Talk, that's it. So I just want to give my quick thoughts, like I said, on Jonnu Smith, Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar, Matthew Judon, Devon Godchuk, and Jalen Mills. Sorry for butchering your name, Devon. And yeah, that's about going to do it for me, guys. I've got some more exciting content. So the only podcast coming out this week, if you're listening now, is today, Monday, March 15th. And then Wednesday, St. Patrick's Day, we're having the live stream. And then we're going to do another, I'm going to do two episodes next week. Guests will be coming out at a later time. But I'll give you hints. We're going to be, it's AFC based. NFC, we'll get to that when we can. And then before we know it, the draft will be here and the schedule too. So anyway, guys, thank you for checking out episode 74 of YWC Football Talk. Have a good night. And thanks once again to Davis Sanchez for coming on. So yeah, that's it. It's done now.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.